Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
It's another Tuesday, which means you're getting in the routine for the work week. And it's time for another taping of Listen In with KNN. Today's show is dedicated to the Georgetown faithful. That's right, Hoyas Saxa fans in the DMV and beyond. This show is for you. We are going to talk Georgetown men's basketball college hoops with my special guest, Jonathan Wallace, a part of the coaching staff. All right, that means it's time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in and follow along with the conversation using hashtag ListenInWithKNN.
It's time to recognize those individuals that are doing good in the community and making a difference in the sports world. Without further ado, Kelsey presents this week's Do Good Sports Person Award nominee.
All right, it's time for Kelsey's Do Good Sports Person of the Week segment, and today I'll be honoring Dr. Roy Heron of Heron Med Spa and the one and only A. Roy Heron Global Foundation for Community Wellness. So after wondering why he was awarded for his continuous work servicing the students of Alexandria and beyond by providing programs dedicated to improving nutrition, creating fitness programs for youth to combat childhood obesity and malnutrition, and just overall creating programs for wellness. So without further ado, I would like to welcome the doctor to the show. How are you, Roy?
Thank you so very much for giving me the opportunity to spread and tell the community about my program. Thank you. I'm doing well.
No problem. Thank you so much for joining us. And so I have to ask you, what first inspired you to start this foundation?
Well, basically, when I've seen the need in the community of all these kids, these young kids now, we're talking about kids now from elementary school, from kindergarten up, and these kids from, like, say, 5 to 10 years old, a large number, generally about 20 to 25%, are already having high blood pressure and diabetes, and they're only 5, 6, 7 years old. It's tragic, the epidemic that's going on. So I felt a need to try to do something to help these kids, and that's why I formed my program.
Right, and I love that you've started this. And as you said, it's an epidemic. It's something that needs to be addressed. So can you tell us, what are some of the different programs that you've instituted through this foundation?
Well, basically what we do is we go into the school system, and we select the school, and then we offer a wide variety of things to the kids. First of all, not only just teaching the kids what to eat, but also we're teaching their families how to cook the food. We're also instituting we have Zumba classes. We're also going to take them on field trips. We make it fun, and we give them a reward for losing weight also. So we look at their situation and their family situation and do our best to help them. A lot of times these kids can't even, the parents can't even afford the food to put on the table. So in those kids, we even supply food for them also.
Wow, that is wonderful. And can you tell us a little bit about what upcoming events do you have through this program and any type of fundraisers that you have coming up?
Well, we just finished our last one about a month ago. We're planning one in the spring, which will be a big fundraiser. We haven't chosen the date yet, but we're going to have it in the spring. And these are done to let community awareness of about what we're doing and to raise, obviously, funds for these kids, because this is totally free for the kids. You know, and,
right.
And it's an expensive endeavor, so the more money we raise, the more kids we can help.
Perfect. And it's all about helping the children. So for people that want to get involved or just donate to help you guys reach your mission, where can people find out more information about the foundation?
Well, basically, it's very easy. All they got to do is, first of all, they can call us, and my number is 703-549-2626 is the office number. Or they can also email us. And at this particular point, I want them to email me directly, and that's going to be royheron@yahoo.com is my personal email, so I can address your caller directly.
Perfect.
It's royheron@yahoo.com.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, thank you again so much for joining us, and congratulations once again for getting awarded as this week's Kelsey's Do Good Sports Person of the Week.
And I want to also say to all your viewers, I wish everyone a very happy holiday, Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year. And I hope to be hearing from many of you in the very near future. I hope your kids. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Okay. God bless.
Same to you. And it's now time for a quick commercial break, and we will be right back.
Jerry's Burger Spot has all your Friday night tailgating favorites. From their never-frozen burger, fresh-cut fries, ice cream, and milkshakes, Jerry's Burger Spot offers the best lunch. And if you desire a fresh handmade burger or some delicious ice cream like Mom used to make, stop by Jerry's Burger Spot at 3815 Jefferson Park Road, Prince George, Virginia, right off 36 near Fort Lee. Jerry's Burger Spot. Remember when.
Welcome back to Listen In with K&N, where we give you sports talk like you've never heard before. It's now that time to welcome in my special guest to the show, the one and only Mr. Jonathan Wallace. Now, if you've been down to the Capital One Arena to see Georgetown play or travel on the road to support the team, he should be a familiar face. So without further ado, I would like to welcome Mr. Jonathan Wallace to the show. How are you, Jonathan?
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thank you. And quickly, I'm going to go through your bio just so people know who I have on the show and just your connection to Georgetown. Sure. So for those that are listening, Wallace was an All-Big East guard who hit a game-tying three-pointer in the 2007 NCAA Regionals to help lift the Hoyas past North Carolina and to the Final Four. Finished his eighth season in the professional ranks this past season, playing for a team in Angola. Wallace ended up starting every game of his career, 136, and was part of four teams that went to the postseason, including three straight NCAA tournament appearances, won back-to-back Big East regular season titles, 2006-7, 2007-8, and a Big East tournament championship from 2006-2007. He ranked third all-time in career starts in Georgetown, and the Hoyas won 100 games during his four-year career. Wallace earned All-Big East honors in 2007 and 8 as a senior, and he was a co-captain, averaging 10.7 points, 2.6 assists, and led the team with 71 three-point field goals. So, yes, he can shoot, ladies and gentlemen. As a junior in 2006 to 2007, when the Hoyas went to the Final Four, he finished third on the team in scoring with 11.4 points and led the team with 73 three-pointers. So, again, he can shoot, people. For his career, Wallace averaged 9.2 points and 2.8 assists and hit 243-point field goals, the latter mark, which stood as his school record until the 2015-2016 season. He ranks number 24 all-time in scoring. Get this, 1,256 points. Third in three-point field goal percentage at 43.4% and fifth in free throw percentage, 82.1%, and ninth all-time in assists with 378. Following his graduation, Wallace, who had been accepted into the Georgetown University School of Law, but he also has brains, which we like, embarked on a professional career that took him from the NBA Developmental League to Germany, Belgium, and Africa. He played for the Houston Rockets team in the D-League in 2008 and won a championship with that squad. He moved to Germany in 2009 and won a pair of league titles. There, while also being selected as an All-League player during the 2012-13 season. And then this season, he begins his second year as a special assistant to the head coach, but this is his first year under head coach Pat Ewing. So, I mean, Jonathan, what have you not done? I'm glad to have you on the show. I feel like you've just done it all. So that takes me to my first question. I mean, how has it been transitioning from being a player for Georgetown to now coaching these new young players on the team?
It's been a humbling experience. I would like to say the main characteristics I've learned so far is patience. You know, as a player, you have the ability to kind of control the course of the game and what you want to happen. From the position I am now, you know, you can only do so much, more so on the preparation side. But, you know, once the game starts, you know, you kind of held back a little bit. You can't go out there and actually make things happen yourself. So, you know, you get frustrated at times, but at the same time, you get the joy from, you know, helping guys prepare and learning and allowing them to, you know, kind of better their game.
Right, right. And I mean, tell me just what are some of the most important lessons that you learned as a player, both at Georgetown and overseas, that you kind of try to instill into the guys now on Georgetown's team?
Being able to think the game, I think that's from my position that I played as a point guard and to other young guards, I think that's a lost art. You're kind of heavy on, everyone's so heavy on the skill side. Everyone wants to be able to dribble the best, shoot the best, but, you know, the game is very tactical. You got to be able to think one and two moves ahead. You got to be able to know, you know, time, situation, plays, the course of the game, whether you're at home or on the road, and that's something I try to instill in a lot of our guys now. You know, I was blessed to have my father was a coach, and then, you know, playing with great coaches through high school and playing with Coach Thompson, and actually, you know, Coach Ewan actually coached me when I was on summer league with the Hornets. So I've been very fortunate, you know, to get a large grasp of knowledge from those guys. But just trying to instill that in our guys is key.
And I mean, tell me, so you went to Georgetown, even thought about going to Georgetown for law school, and now you're coaching at Georgetown. So was playing basketball or being around the program always in your blood as a kid? Like, was that the program you knew you wanted to play for?
That's funny. You know, coming from where I'm from, we don't really get a lot of the Georgetown games broadcast. I guess when it was at its height was when AI was still playing. And, you know, you heard of Georgetown, but you never got to see the brand on TV. I grew up in Alabama. You know, the SEC is all they kind of push through the airways there. And Coach Thompson, originally being at Princeton, was where I was going to go. And then when he got the job at Georgetown, I think it was later that summer of my senior year of high school, he asked me to come here as a walk-on. And knowing just the principles he stood for, knowing the tradition and the history of Georgetown, both academically and athletically, you know, it was a no-brainer for me.
Right. I mean, it just kind of speaks to how Coach Thompson was able to steal you away from all those big SEC schools down there.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit, though. You're from Alabama. How was it? What was it like growing up in Alabama? I mean, where did you kind of learn the game from?
Learning from my father. And what's funny, he was a coach, but he was known for playing football growing up. His brothers were big basketball players. And so, you know, he grew up around the game and studied the game and was able to really raised me as a student of the game. Growing up, you know, I grew up in a rural environment, so born and raised on a farm. So that's kind of where I learned the work ethic. You know, rain, sleet, or shine, you know, you got to be out there taking care of your business. And that just translated from, you know, everyday chores to the basketball court, being able to, you know, stay the course, focus on your work, and allowing the process to take time. You know, you can't really make things happen just overnight. So being consistent, being steady, is kind of, I guess, words I would attribute to my career as a basketball player.
Right, well said. And, you know, I know your sister Hannah from going to Georgetown grad school with her. You sound just like her, that hard work ethic. Hearing you talk, it definitely runs in the family. But I want to ask you, I know you're thinking about going to Georgetown Law School, but tell me, what are your ultimate goals? I mean, are we going to see you in coaching? Do you want to still get the law degree? Like, you know, what's your overall goal with where you want to be career-wise?
You know, when I first set out, to be honest, I thought I wanted to be, you know, an NBA GM one day. And that's still, you know, one of those looming goals. But, you know, I've really fallen in love with the game as a player and just being able to kind of see some of the hard work pay off in my short, you know, but early career as a coach. Definitely is something that I've been, you know, accepting to, and it's kind of opened my eyes up to possibly a future in that as well. So I call myself fortunate in this position now to, you know, not only just grow, but learn and really, you know, be patient and be open to what the game can bring to the table for me as a coach and kind of see what happens from there. I'm kind of open at this point.
Okay, very interesting. And before we get into the interview, I have to ask, I mean, what was it like playing overseas in all of these different countries? I mean, had you even had a chance to visit these countries before you went over there? Or like, what was that like?
No, that was honestly the biggest jump I've ever made in my life was actually getting on a plane and, you know, flying across that water. No, it was tough over there. Now a lot of Americans are playing over there, and it's brought a little bit more glamour to the lifestyle. But you know, it's different. You're pretty much isolated. You're in brand new countries. And depending on what league you're playing, you could be playing in, you know, Russia on Wednesday, Germany on Saturday, and back again, say Spain next Wednesday. So having to convert currency, having to change your watch time-wise, learn the different foods and different cultures within the course of a week can kind of derail you from focusing on, you know, you got to go in and win the game against you know, hostile crowds or a little more harsh environments where people actually throw things at you in arenas or,
Oh my gosh.
You know, different languages. So all that factors in, but you know, all in all, I am glad that I did that. I think individually, it makes you grow, especially as a man.
Right, I'm sure.
Being early in your career. So, you know, I
wow.
definitely don't regret it at all.
Wow, and I guess as you said, you better like airplanes with
right.
all the flying that you had to do. That's why I couldn't do it. I'm not a big plane person if I don't have to.
Okay,
but okay. As we kick it into my show, I want to first start it off with my doing it big in the DMV segment. Of course, since Georgetown basketball is here in the DMV, one of the premier basketball programs. But for people that don't know, I kind of want to take it back. We're going to start off, Jonathan, with a history and kind of when Georgetown basketball became the big powerhouse name that it is. So if you can bear with me, I'm going to take people through a little story and then we'll get into it.
Okay.
So, listeners, I'm going to take you back to the year 1979 when the local college hoop scene was dominated by that school in College Park. Yes, the Maryland Terrapins. If you go back to this year, this is when the Terps had products and talent like, get these names, people, Baltimore product, Ernest Graham, Buff Williams, and Albert King, who Lefty Driesdell was able to secure from New York. Then we're going to fast forward to the end of the 1979-80 season when there was another local team who was making its claim to fame in local hoops hysteria. Yes, this is when Georgetown had a group of freshmen in the 78-79 season who would combine with juniors like Craig Shelton, John Duren, to establish a new power in the area. You had Eric Sleepy Floyd, Mike Hancock, Ed Springs, and Eric Smith. They would become the cornerstones for Georgetown basketball, which the following year would help to establish the Big East as a power to be reckoned with. Then you fast forward to the 1980 NCAA tournament where Georgetown defeated Maryland 74-68 after beating them in the regular season 83-71. Maryland won 24 games that year and finished first in the ACC regular season, going 11-3, but then a new era was born. So now we are in that new era, and before we got to this Pat Ewing era, we were in the Thompson era, a Thompson name that has led the program for 40 of the 45 past years before the Pat Ewing era. But now Pat Ewing has said that he wants to bring back Hoya paranoia. So I'm just curious, Jonathan, to hear your thoughts on how your staff working under Coach Pat Ewing, how are you guys working to kind of get that camaraderie and that, you know, big sense of pride in Hoya Saxa back here in Washington, D.C., and getting everybody to kind of rally back behind the basketball team?
Well, I think mainly it's just giving everyone a little more sense of ownership in the program. You know, we've been recruiting the area pretty hard to get local guys, local kids that are, you know, on the top tier as far as talent-wise, but you know, obviously Coach Ewing brought in a different style of play, kind of similarly mirroring the old style that Pops used to play. And I think, you know, the DMV, that's what they're accustomed to, and that's what they've seen in the past. And so that's kind of opened up the doors as far as recruiting a lot of the new players. They want to play faster. Everyone wants to shoot more threes. Everyone wants to play a little bit more aggressive. And so I think that's kind of the thing that he's been instilling within the program and, you know, in our early stages of development, so to speak. But, you know, he's being more available, being very vocal and appearing to the crowd a lot. And I think that's kind of bringing that excitement back to the program a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, you talked about something I know everyone here in the DMV is going to be glad to hear. You talked about bringing local guys back to the program, which is something I think that people really miss, because if people that don't know, the DMV always has such good basketball products that come right
yeah.
here from this area, and no one wants to see them go far, right? I mean, and right now you guys have Antoine Walker and you have Pickett, who are actually both DC guys that are with
right.
the program. So, I mean, tell me kind of, if you can, any specifics that you guys are kind of doing to get these guys to, you know, look at, hey, Georgetown is right in your backyard. You get that good basketball program and good education. I mean, you know, what are you guys specifically kind of doing to get these guys to look at Georgetown and, you know, hopefully pick that school to commit to?
Well, it means nothing out of the ordinary. You know, obviously you want to attract people with your brand and the style of play works for itself. But at the same time, you know, Coach Ewing being such a public figure, being, you know, that guy who, as a player, really started everything behind the Georgetown basketball brand.
Right.
You know, you're hoping that kind of resonates with a lot of the parents, a lot of the kids, and just kind of want to bring that pride of the DMV back home. But, you know, at the same time, this is a hotbed for basketball. So every school in the country will be in town approaching these kids. So, you know, you try to preach the hometown situation, and, you know, obviously playing in an NBA arena is a great opportunity for kids to be in front of, you know, the said scouts, the GMs. So, you know, that's something that we all have right here at home, and you hope that's attractive to people. But at the same time, you know, you want to give kids the opportunity to play at the highest level, compete against the best competition, as well as get a top-level education. So those are all our cornerstones, and we just, you know, continue to preach that. You know, you just want to have good people in your program, and, you know, we feel like a lot of the kids here in the area definitely personify all those traits, and, you know, we'll target those guys.
Right. I mean, I think you said it so well, and I'm telling you, I mean, I feel the spirit of getting the kids in the DMV already just from you, and I can tell it's something that you guys have committed to. I'm already ready to start bringing back the Georgetown starter jackets. I actually need to go get myself one, because I feel like everyone's going to rally behind this team that you guys have built. But before we get further into Pat Ewing's era that has started, I want to talk with you, since you kind of were there for John Thompson III. Well, the end of his era, and I guess the beginning, of course, of Pat Ewing's era. So for people that don't know, John Thompson III, he's coached for 13 years as a Georgetown Hoyas head coach. He won 278 games, took the Hoyas to a Final Four, but, of course, a lot of people speculated that he was fired because it's kind of a culture now that we live in. Of course, if you turn on the news, it's kind of what have you done for me lately, and this is not just in college basketball. We see it in so many sports. With all the firings and things like that. But I want to ask you, Jonathan, I mean, what was that like kind of transitioning from Coach Thompson to Pat Ewing? I mean, what's kind of the same? What's kind of different? Is the whole different atmosphere? Or do you kind of feel it's not much change?
I mean, obviously for me personally, it was bittersweet, you know, playing for Coach Thompson, the guy who gave me a chance to, you know, further my career as a basketball player at the highest level. You don't want to see, you know, him go, and especially not in that manner. But I think what's similar is that Coach Thompson, both himself and Coach Ewing, have that Hoya pride, have that Hoya paranoia, if you want to put into a slogan, so to speak. But, you know, and I think that has, again, been the focal point. I don't think either party has, you know, let anything personal get in the way of, you know, what you want to succeed and want to accomplish as an individual, as a university and as a program. And I think that is very important, and that's been very key throughout this whole transition process, you know. And so, you know, keeping the kids' best interest at heart is obviously, you know, what you want to focus on. I think that has been a consistent attack from there.
Right. I mean, you talked about, you know, how you felt. And, of course, this season the Hoyas returned just three players, you know, who were on the floor for significant minutes in the last season. Do you think they've also had – a kind of easy transition into this kind of new style of play that head coach Pat Ewing is trying to employ on the team? Or has it been kind of more difficult, I guess, enough for players to kind of keep up?
Well, I wouldn't say easy, because we had a you know, real tough summer. Guys really had to get in shape and condition for the style that Coach Ewing wanted to play, you know, more up-tempo, a more, you know, try to attack early in the shot clock type of transition type of game. And then obviously on defense as well, you want to play high tempo, you really want to put pressure out there, so you got to be in shape. But you know, anytime, especially, you can kind of bring in a few new traits, a few new terminology, it almost breathes new life in a way. And so I think the guys, I think they responded pretty well to it. Obviously, you know, it was early in the season, we're keeping everything in perspective, we're still working daily, but you know, just to get those guys to buy in and get them to continue to play with a high level of energy and excitement, not only does well for our program, but for the fans and for the university and just for the overall culture of Georgetown basketball. So, you know, we're constantly working, but I definitely wouldn't say it's been easy.
Right. I mean, I think nothing worth having comes easy. And I feel like when it comes to Georgetown basketball, I feel like you don't think of the word easy. Because everyone knows just the grit, you know, that goes into playing. Of course, you do, since you've been on both sides of the ball. But now, Jonathan, I want to ask you, I mean, you guys have had a lot of critics. I mean, I have to keep it real. Just because of the latter part of John Thompson III's season, you know, people are saying that you guys have failed to make the NCAA tournament in the past 2 years. And you haven't progressed beyond the second round since 2007. So with that in mind, I'm just curious, what would you tell people? I mean, what was kind of the goal that you guys told the players? I mean, or do you guys even set goals? I mean, what have you told the players that you want from this season under head coach Pat Ewing?
Obviously, you know, we're setting goals, but to be more specific, it's been a thing of just kind of bring your hard hat every day. And if you know, put the work in consistently, you know, do what you're told to do, do what you're supposed to do, play the game in an honest fashion, you know, winning will take care of itself. It's a long season. It's a long grind. Obviously, you know, people will say what they want to say, and from our position, you can't control that. That's what fans are supposed to do. They're supposed to be critical. They're supposed to cheer. You know, that's just what it is. That comes with the game. You know, but behind closed doors, you know, we know what we want to accomplish. We're obviously playing for postseason. We want to win. We want to be on the big dance. And you just kind of got to go back to square one and really focus on that daily progression. It's a process. You got to buy in. You know, you're going to have your highs, you're going to have your lows, but throughout the whole season, you got to be consistent. And that's what we're really, really preaching to these guys. And I think they're definitely starting to turn the corner and really put that at the forefront of their approach to practice each day. And so hopefully that just keeps building and building so that we'll be able to be playing our best basketball, you know, come around February.
Right. And then, of course, we all get excited for March Madness. And now I want to take you to a quick question from a listener. I'm going to go to a Twitter question from Jamel Cutler, whose Twitter is at jcut_NBA. His question for you is, how does Ewing's arrival affect future recruits, and how much of the NBA setting that he comes from, I mean, how much of the NBA sets does Ewing run since he comes from an NBA environment?
I wouldn't say it's more so sets, but I guess just the overall, I guess the best way to put it is just the overall fundamentals of our system. You know, obviously in the NBA, the rules don't allow you to play 3 seconds in the key defensively, so you got to really predicate your offense on spacing. And I think that's something that if you watch us play, and we have created a lot of space on the floor, and we allow guys to be a little more free in their decision-making. And obviously pushing the ball a little bit faster down the court. We want to attack early. We want to use our athleticism. We want to use a lot of the God-given gifts that our guys have to be an advantage for us. And that's what he's brought from sort of the NBA system, so to speak. But, you know, really let those guys play and be themselves.
Right. Well said. Well said. And I think you already answered the part of the question of how him arriving affects future recruits. So now I want to get into your guys' undefeated start, which is very exciting, I'm sure, especially for Georgetown alumni and Georgetown fans. So you guys are coming off a win from the BB&T Classic. Georgetown beat winless Coppin State 76-60. And before I get into the game, I do want to address something that I've seen. And it's an article basically out that says, you know, the BB&T Classic just isn't the same. They were saying, you know, how a lot of people aren't going to the Classic anymore, and especially since Maryland dropped out back in 2014, how it's just kind of a different game. And then people brought up the fact, you know, how many fans actually stayed for both games, since there was a nice little, you know, gap in between the games. Of course, not your fault. But I'm just curious, I mean, do you think this Classic, can it be built back to kind of what it used to be? I mean, what will it take for it to kind of, you know, get back to being one of the premier, you know, hot ticket events for people in this area?
Well, I mean, I think that just boils down to the conversations in the off season. You know, right now we can't, you know, we don't really give too much attention to that at this point. But, you know, if people want to build it back up, that's something we should, you know, look at in the off season and kind of make the adjustments from there.
Well said. I mean, hey, I'm rooting for it. I hope it happens, because I remember going up and going to it. So, you know, just seeing that, I was like, wow. But anyways, I want to get back to your guys' undefeated start. So far you guys have beaten, of course, Coppin State recently, Jacksonville, Mount St. Mary's, University of Maryland, Eastern Shore, Richmond, and Maine. So going with that in mind, tell me what offensively and defensively, like, what's been going right for you guys to stay undefeated against these teams?
Energy. We've been preaching it's about us. You know, no matter who we play, you got to respect your opponent, but we're really focusing on our fundamentals and our principles defensively. You know, a lot of ball pressure, rebounding. We're trying to focus a lot more on rebounding, getting more possessions on the offensive end, And that's just basically by getting the ball back. So definitely predicating our system on defense first. Offensively, just pushing the tempo, really trying to get into an early season rhythm. And, you know, with being a whole new system, it takes time. And we're conscious of that. Our guys are conscious of that as well. And so,
right.
You know, some games may look better than others, but, again, it's about us. It's about how we approach the game as a collective unit. Is everyone really buying in and really trying to, you know, execute at the highest level is what we're really focusing on right now.
Right. And you talk about executing at the highest level. And one of the headliners going into this season was the signing of D.C. native Pickett. Who's a 6'7" prospect who originally committed to Mississippi, but then he ended up committing to you guys. He was the number 95 recruit in the country as rated by ESPN. I think he has a very bright future, and I thought it was great seeing that he scored 13 points for you guys at the BB&T Classic. So tell me, what kind of are you looking forward to working with this, you know, young guy and what his future holds?
No, I have fun with it. You know, he and I do a lot of skill progression work before and after practice, and you know, he's a kid that definitely has, you know, the abilities to hopefully get to the next level. But, you know, on this team, he's a freshman by listing,
right.
But he knows he can't play like a freshman. And so, you know, with each game, just making sure his confidence is constantly growing, making sure he's still playing solid basketball, both defensively and offensively. You know, we want him to be aggressive. We want him to be who he's been that got him to this point. And obviously, you know, with the focus on the strength, with the condition, and then just playing with, you know, new teammates at a higher level. Hopefully that sharpens his game, total span to where he can really help us later on in the year.
Right. I mean, and you talked about helping you later on in the year. Another person that really everyone has rallied behind is Jesse Govan. Of course, he scored a season high 26 points and had a career high 16 rebounds. In the BB&T Classic, he was a point off his career high, but he now has 4 double-doubles this season. And he scored 16 points in the first half, made 7 of 10 from the free throw line, and 8 rebounds in the first half. And then, of course, you had Derrickson, who also added 13 points and 4 rebounds in the Classic. And then I think another big name people need to kind of rally behind is Caleb Johnson, who had 18 points and 4 rebounds in the big game against Maine. So tell me, I mean, kind of how are these, what are these guys specifically kind of bringing to the team, and how do you think that will affect you guys moving forward as your schedule begins to get harder?
Well, they're bringing experience. They've been here before.
Right.
Obviously, they haven't made the postseason, so that's going to make those guys particularly a little hungrier, and that's a good thing. You know, we want those guys to come in and bring a little bit more edge to the game, a little more grit to the game, and really lead us in a direction that's going to, you know, hopefully get us a postseason bid. You know, we're still fine-tuning this thing. We're still working daily, but conference play is right around the corner. And,
right.
Like, again, they've been there. You know, they have to really lead us vocally, physically as well. And, you know, it rests on those guys' shoulders. They know that, and it's not a burden. It's something that I think they've welcomed with open arms, and they just have to continuously grow along with this, you know, young group of guys and really help them turn the corner as well so that collectively, you know, we're firing all cylinders come, what, December 27th, I think, we got Butler at home to kick off conference play. So,
right,
you know,
right.
Obviously not overlooking, you know, the next few games, but you're still trying to progress.
Of course, it's always about progressing. And now we're going to progress to my Kelsey's Across the Nation segment. And now I want to move on to kind of the front office of the team. I want to talk about the coaching staff. I think it's a coaching staff that really hasn't gotten much recognition, of course, because I guess they're under a big name like Coach Pat Ewing. But this season, you guys have Louis Orr, Robert Kirby, and Akbar Waid,
right.
Who was on the Georgetown staff last year, as his full-time coaches and recruiters. Now, for people that don't know, Orr is a former Big East Conference player, assistant coach, and head coach. Kirby is recognized as one of the top recruiters in the country, and Waid is a skilled talent evaluator who's actually from right here in Washington, D.C. So tell me, what has it been like, you know, being with this coaching staff, and kind of what has been, you know, the goal of you guys working together to propel this team?
Going back to the basics, you know, from a recruiting standpoint, you know, those guys are very seasoned in that aspect.
Right.
They know what Coach Ewing is looking for, what different types of pieces we need to complement his system in order for us to be successful. For me individually, it's been fun, you know, learning from those guys and really, you know, seeing all aspects of the game, both, you know, off season, throughout the season, and just really, you know, being able to have good managerial skills with this whole thing. Again, you know, those guys had coaching experience on the highest level. Some of them have been head coaches, so really being able to handle all aspects of it has been helpful to Coach Ewan, first of all, but for our guys as well. They bring a wealth of knowledge to the table, both being have played at the highest level and so forth. So it's not a situation of just talking at them. You know, you can really get basics and teach. And that's what's really important at this level. You really got to teach the fundamentals, really got to teach the game, and make sure you guys understand why they're doing what they're doing, as opposed to just saying, do it because I said so.
Right. So, I think that's huge. It's huge.
Very important.
Wow. And now that takes me to my next topic as we move to the biggest headlines in sports. As of Monday, December 4th, you guys remain one of 13 undefeated teams. It's Texas A&M, Duke, Virginia, Miami, Florida State, TCU, Kansas, Villanova, of course, Georgetown, Nevada, Arizona State, and Mississippi State. And then also on Monday, the AP Top 25 poll was released, where Georgetown kind of got some buzz, basically because there was actually a writer who voted for you guys in the AP Top 25. So I'm sure, as you know, Jonathan, both sides of the spectrum kind of weighed in. But this was Georgetown's first time. This was the first time that the men's basketball team had received votes in the poll since December 14th, 2015. So you can kind of see why there was some buzz behind it. But basically, voter Doug Dowdy of the Roanoke Times, basically, he's a Hoya believer. Dowdy voted for the Hoyas as the 22nd best team in the country. Telling us on the positive side first. But Tom, I mean, do you think having someone like that vote for you guys and basically say he thinks you guys are one of the best teams in the country, what does that kind of do, you think, for the players, you know, morale or how they believe in themselves? Or do you think the players aren't even paying attention to AP polls coming out and things like that?
I think as a, you know, as a player, especially in the collegiate level, you pay attention to it. I don't know how much that weighs on their minds individually, but you definitely pay attention to it, and it's not something that you can dodge. You know, whether you're watching somebody else play on TV, there's mentioning of it. So obviously you hope to be ranked in some sort of capacity. No, definitely. I mean, we appreciate the support. We appreciate the votes because we do think we're one of the best teams in the country. But at the same time, you know, it's what, December the 4th? It's early.
Right, it's early.
You know? And, you know, every day brings about a different challenge, and we just want to control what we can control, and that goes back to our principles and what we kind of preach here in-house. And, you know, those rankings and everything will take care of itself, but we have to, again, take care of our business daily and not get caught up on trying to, you know, please others at this point. We really have to be focused on buying into the systems and to the principles that Coach Ewan is trying to get across to guys, and things will take care of themselves.
Right. And I mean, I feel like you said it. I mean, the players are going to see this, but of course, I mean, as you said, you guys have to take care of business. Who cares what people say? I think you prove it on the basketball court. But just for those listening, Georgetown is in an unofficial 44th in the AP men's basketball poll. But I do want to flip it on to the other end, just because I was surprised to see that there was a lot more negative coming from sports journalists. So one sports journalist actually said he didn't think you guys deserved it at all, because he said Georgetown begged out of the PK80 tournament because it didn't want to take its lumps. The Hoyas scheduled sub-300 RPI teams instead. And then others say that Georgetown has had the worst NCSOS in the country, having zero top 200 wins. And they said your best victory was a 6-point victory over a 1-7 Richmond team. So just saying that there are a lot of negatives on social media and online. I mean, how do you kind of keep that out of the players? You know, how do you keep that out of the players' heads in this social media age where, you know, they can see anything so easily because it's coming, you know, right to their phones?
I mean, those guys are all mature enough to put that in perspective. You know, if anything, it could add a little fuel to your fire as a team, as to a unit. But again, I mean, people are going to say what they're going to say. That's what they get paid to do. They're paid to voice their opinion in one way or the other. And we have to play. You know, so you know, you can say what you got to say again. Like I said, it's December 4th, but, you know, there's a long season, a lot of basketball to be played. We're focused on us. You can't please everyone.
Right.
No matter what you do, whether you're number one in the country or, you know, 300 or whatever, people are going to say what they're going to say. And so we just got to continue to be steady, continue to focus on getting better every day. And we'll be just fine. I'm not worried. I don't think they are either.
Right. I mean, I think that's the mindset that you need to have. And
yeah.
Keeping in my mindset, I now want to move on to my Kelsey's Are You Serious Right Now segment. And this takes me to Trey Morning. Don't be scared about the name. But I want to talk about Trey just because there have been a lot of questions about Trey's future with Georgetown. So he is one of the three seniors on the team, but he's the only forward, Trey Morning, of the seniors who has been with Georgetown for his entire collegiate career, which I think
right.
speaks a lot to it. But, of course, Trey, there was a lot of buzz because it was said back in March of this year that he was going to transfer. And, of course, this was pretty much at the end of the basketball season last year under head coach Sean Thompson III. But now he's back, but we see him in a suit on the sidelines. So I guess my biggest question is, I mean, will we see Trey Morning at all, you know, this season? Or, like, what's up with Trey?
Well, that's one of those things that I think he and Coach Ewan will probably address at a later time. But right now, he's just been focused on getting healthy, returning from his surgery that he ended up having in the offseason. And just getting better one day at a time. Obviously, he's very visible out there on the bench. And
right.
So, you know, a lot of buzz will be had because of that. But, you know, he's in good spirits. He knows where he fits within, I guess, our grand scheme of things. But, you know, he's bought in. He's on board. He's in, like I said again, he's in good spirits. He's just trying to get healthy.
Right, I mean, well said, well said. And now that takes me to my last segment, Jonathan, which I hope you'll bear with me through. But I always like to end my show with my Woman Crush Everyday segment, where I basically honor women making a difference or a change in the sports world. So today I would like to honor Kim Davis of the NHL. And if you don't know Kim Davis, the NHL recently announced that Kim Davis has been named Executive Vice President of Social Impact, Growth Initiatives, and Legislative Affairs. In 2012, she was profiled with former First Lady Michelle Obama in Essence Magazine's 28 Most Influential Black Women in America. Davis comes to the NHL with an impressive list of previous positions, dismantling any arguments that merit is not why she landed in this corporate job. She has been a trailblazer in the corporate and philanthropic communities, and she's worked for just so many different places. But basically, I wanted to honor her because she also created the first Woman of Color Affinity Group at Chase Manhattan Bank and developed a mentoring program for senior women that became an industry best practice in investment banking. So basically, she just continues to break down doors. And if you think about it, when you think of hockey, you don't unfortunately see a lot of African-American, especially American women, in these executive positions. And I think that's so vital in the sports industry because all it takes is one. I always preach that. All it takes is one to open doors for others. So she has broken down barriers, not just in this job, but also in her
right.
past job. And I think when you think of hockey, Jonathan, I mean, it's long been considered a sport that had structural barriers, just for a long, long, long time. But I think this will hopefully be a door. And hopefully now we have, you know, minority women and men, you know, wanting to get in those front office positions. And I'm just curious, I mean, what do you think about this news of, you know, Kim Davis getting this pretty big position in the NHL?
No, that's huge. I mean, salute to her and her endeavors and just consistently growing and climbing that ladder. But, you know, I'm more impressed by how she's created different groups and opportunities to give back. I think that's something that's
right.
always lost within the whole scheme of things. You know, you get to that peak, to that mountaintop, to where you want to go. But, you know, she's actually creating opportunities for others to, you know, sort of find their way through their careers to get to where, you know, they hope to be where she is one day. And I think that's very, very important and should be magnified as well.
Yes, I mean, I think you said that so well. And I love what you said, especially because I think more than ever, we need more men supporting women. You know, we see all this different stuff
exactly.
in the news. But I like to tell people, Jonathan, there are some good men out there.
Absolutely.
And I think they support it. And I know it's like when you turn on the TV now, unfortunately, there's so much, you know, this and that. But I think that was very well said. And to all the listeners, I want to thank everyone for listening. That's a wrap of this edition of Listen In with K&N. I hope you had fun, learned something, and, of course, jumped in on the K&N bandwagon. Be sure to listen in each and every Tuesday and Thursday for new shows that drop online at FoxSports1340AM.com and KelseyNicoleNelson.com. If that's not enough, the show is available for download on iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Your feedback and support matter. Until next week, enjoy the sports world, smile, and don't take your fantasy sports too seriously, because there's always another play.
Follow Kelsey on Twitter at TheRealKNelson. You've been listening to Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM Fox Sports Radio.